Hello, friends. It's time for Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for the next half hour as we get down in the Word of God and see what He has to say to us today. I believe God speaks to us by His Spirit and through His Word. Hallelujah. So when I go to the Scripture, I expect to hear something for me personally as the Lord speaks by His Spirit. Through His Word. That's why getting in the Bible is so important and getting the Word of God inside of you and inside of me today. We're excited about this message today. Who is on the Lord's side? It's time to take that very, very seriously and take it to heart and make a decision. It's time to choose sides. If you're a Christian, it's time to be the Christian that you're called to be. If you're not a Christian, it's time to come to know Christ as your Savior. It's time to take sides today and make sure you're on the right side because Jesus is coming very, very soon. Our text is going to be from Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. Just before we go to the Scripture today on whose side are you on? Who is on the Lord's side? Amen. We'd like to invite you to come to our website. Just type in THCOG. That's THCOG. That'll take you to the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida, and an affiliate of Independent Assemblies of God in good standing since 1974. We have celebrated 40 years of ministry here in the city of Tampa, getting ready for our 41st anniversary this January. God has been extremely good and faithful to us, and we want to be a blessing to others because of His blessing to us. Praise God. Amen. We pray this broadcast is a blessing to you. If you're listening by the World Wide Web, we're very, very thankful that you have joined us as part of the listening family here on WMAF. And we are certainly glad to be part of the broadcast family right here. If you have your Bibles now, turn with me to Revelation 17 and verse 14 on the subject, who is on the Lord's side. Friend, it is time to take sides. If you haven't made it clear where you stand, I believe the Holy Spirit is calling us to stand up for Jesus. Amen. And if we stand up for the Lord just now, the Lord is going to stand with us and help us to stand strong in these last perilous times that we are living, these last of the last days. That's why it is so crucial that we assemble together to receive His instruction, not just inspiration, but information from His Word and encouragement from one another. You know, the Bible said to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but much more as you see that day approaching. Exhorting one another, strongly encouraging one another. Listen to this carefully today. Revelation 17 and verse 14. It said, "And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful." I heard this true story of a blind man who lived about 5 blocks from a church in a large city. With his cane in one hand and a large Bible in the other hand, he tapped his way to church every Sunday morning. Curiosity got the best of a neighbor who asked, "Is that Bible written in Braille?" "No, sir," he replied. "You mean you can't read it?" "No, sir," he replied. "Then why do you carry it?" he asked. "I just want everybody to know whose side I'm on," he replied. Ah, friend, every generation needs to answer the ancient question. In Exodus 32, in verse 26, it said, "Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, 'Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me.' And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves unto him. Who is on the Lord's side is the question. There's a lot of talk these days about carnal Christians. Vance Havner declared, "Talk of a worldly Christian? You might as well talk of a heavenly devil." Jesus declared that there is no middle ground. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30 said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Jesus said again that we cannot serve Satan and God or self and God. In Matthew 6 and verse 24, Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." According to our text in Revelation 17 and verse 14, there are three identifying characteristics of those who have chosen Christ over Satan, Christ over sin, and Christ over self, God's kingdom over the kingdoms of this world. And they were called and chosen and faithful. I want to say that again. They were called and chosen and faithful. Concerning this word called, Acts 2:39 said, "For the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Every man, woman, boy, and girl on this planet is called to salvation. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "The God of all grace, who hath called you into his eternal glory in Jesus Christ." And 2 Peter 3:9 said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance." Friend, today the Greek word for church in the New Testament does not mean an organization or denominations. It does not mean buildings or stone or mortar. It is ecclesia, and it literally means called out ones. Those who answer God's call to Jesus Christ are then chosen. Chosen. Matthew 22:14 said, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Someone might ask, "So you Christians think that you're part of the chosen few?" No, we're part of the few that chose. We have chose to answer God's call, to repent of our sin, to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Hallelujah. And that's what the Bible is talking about in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Where it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past you were not a people, but now the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Hallelujah. Praise God. If you want to know what that word peculiar is talking about, it doesn't mean weird. We may seem weird to the world because we don't adapt its values. We don't walk according to the course of this world. We march to the beat, hallelujah, of a different drummer. Glory to God. Amen. Verse 10 tells us what a peculiar people are, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's what makes us peculiar. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are different, and God calls us out of the world into his kingdom. Praise God. So that's why this message is challenging you and me to make a deep commitment to follow Jesus Christ, to be an upstream Christian in a downstream world. We are called, and when we accept that call to Christ and that call to salvation, and we receive Jesus as our Savior, we become chosen. And then there is a third element that is so vitally important, and that is faithfulness. Jesus talked about faithfulness to the church of Smyrna. And I want to read that to you from the book of Revelation 2 and verse 10. They were under intense persecution. And this is what he said, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." You know, the Bible said when Jesus returns, he asked that very poignant and pointed question, "When I return to the earth, shall I find faith?" And when he used that word faith there, it's not faith to believe him to get things, faith to believe him for our needs to be met. This is that word faith that means fidelity. You know, it was written into the early church before the first generation of Christians had passed. Paul said, "I suppose it's needful that I write unto you, that you earnestly contend for the faith, that body of truth that was once delivered unto the saints, that you put up a real fight for the faith." And that's what Jesus is saying. Am I going to find the faith intact? And now, am I going to find faithful followers that have adhered to my truth and are following me when I come? Yes, he is. And those that are doing that are called and chosen and faithful. Praise God. Amen. The Marine Corps has adapted the Latin phrase Semper Fidelis as their phrase, and it simply means always faithful. Fido is a name that used to be given to dogs as a common name. You just named the dog Fido. And it was Abraham Lincoln's beloved pet. His name was Fido. And it means in the Latin, "I am faithful." They that were with Christ, they that had decided to take a stand for Jesus, hallelujah, even unto the death, he said, they were called, they were chosen, and they were faithful. Revelation 12 and verse 10 and 11 says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives." There's the faithfulness. Unto the death. Unto the death. A forest ranger who manned a lookout tower saw smoke in the not very distant trees, and he told his faithful dog to stay at the foot of that tower when he came down, while he went to try to warn people of the approaching fire and made the necessary calls. He was separated from the fire tower by the fast-moving fire. Upon return, he found his faithful companion dead at the foot of the tower. Unleashed, he could have ran away, but he obeyed his master's last command to stay. Through tears, he said, "I always had to be careful what I said to Jack, because he always obeyed." That is what that word faithful is all about. And I believe in this day, when there's such a shallow presentation in many circles of the faith, and shallow challenges to the necessary commitments to follow Jesus Christ, it's become such a discussion that there are those who have said, maybe we need to change born again to born from above, and maybe we need to identify Christians as followers of Jesus Christ and not just people who go to church. To really cause this new generation of believers to understand the necessity of taking a stand, of choosing sides, and making sure that we are on the right side. You know, the scripture said, to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father or the love for the Father is not in them. Why? Because you can't serve two masters. It's a love-hate thing. You can't love Jesus a little and the world a lot. You can't love the world a lot and Jesus a little. You have to love one or the other. And the Bible warns us that in these days when Jesus was asked in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? When you get down in the verses midway, he said, many false prophets shall go out into the land and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Cool down, cool off. It had to be hot at some point before it could cool down. And the Bible spoke of the Antichrist and when he's going to be revealed prophetically. And it said, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and then that man of sin, the son of perdition, is going to be revealed. But before he is revealed, there will be a sign in the church, and the sign in the church is that there will be a falling away. It's similar to that Greek word for divorce. It's breaking a covenant. It's walking away from a promise and a commitment once made. And we are indeed upstream Christians in a downstream world. And if you follow Jesus Christ today, it's going to involve a real commitment to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him exclusively. And we need to make that deep commitment. When we do, all of heaven's resources, all of the help of heaven becomes ours. You know, when Jesus made the commitment, that deep, dedicated commitment in the Garden of Gethsemane to go to the cross, to offer Himself a sacrifice for our sins, and knowing what was awaiting Him. He prayed and He sweat in the course of that prayer. He sweat, and the Bible said that His sweat looked like great drops of blood. A doctor said when under great duress and stress, that the capillaries near the surface of the skin where the sweat glands are, they can begin to break, and blood and sweat are mingled together, and a brownish red liquid begins to come out of the skin. Jesus was in that kind of condition when He made that deep commitment. It was hard to make that commitment because He knew what awaited Him. But He said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will be done. And the Bible said that immediately, amen, angels came and ministered unto Him. They didn't do anything that would take away the pain and the suffering, but they did something that would allow Him not to die. To go through what he was beaten almost to death before he ever got to the cross, before the 6-hour ordeal on the cross. Jesus was, as the scripture said, His visage was marred more than any man's as they beat Him to such a degree that it was sickening to look upon Him. When we saw Him, Isaiah said prophetically, there was nothing that we should desire Him, but we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. The angel strengthened Him with what He needed not to die before He could cry, "It is finished." The wrath of God against sin for those who repent of it has been burned out in me, so that God could be just and a justifier of them that trust in Jesus Christ. Oh, a God that would do that much for you and that much for me deserves our unequivocal commitment and devotion. We need to be ready to take up our cross and follow Christ. Not, we need to be reticent in our decision to follow the Lord in this day when many are falling away from Him and turning away from Him. This is that last day. I believe that the apostate church, that church that is not the true church, is already formed and continuing to form, and more people are flocking to it. But I believe the true church is emerging, praise God, all around this world. There is a call of God to not just come to Christ, but get close to Jesus and become not Christians in name only, but become true followers of Jesus Christ. I want the Christian title to be defined in my life as a follower of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want it to be very, very clear when Jesus comes where I stand. And the call who is on the Lord's side is to help me and to help you, not to make it hard, but to give you heaven's resources when you make the commitment. Hallelujah. To be an upstream Christian in a downstream world. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed say so. Not just in word only, but by the way we live our life, the values that we have, the morals that we embrace. Let the redeemed say so. And I'm so proud of business owners who are standing up and saying, I believe in what the Bible teaches about these moral issues that are facing us today in our culture. Upstream Christians in a downstream world, willing to risk fines and lawsuits and people that will withdraw their patronage of their business in order to follow Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, how proud I am of those who stand up for Him in this day when it's so unpopular. You can't have the world embrace you and have God strengthen you. You have to make a decision, and when you make it, though it may be difficult at first, but when you make it, I believe God will offset all of the pressure and the pain of that decision that may come by giving you a joy that the world knows nothing of, a peace that the world knows nothing of, and a consolation and a comfort. I know He's doing it in my life. I love that great hymn of the faith. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Him than on riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands, just to know that I'm held in His nail-pierced hands, than to be the king of a vast domain and to be held in sin's dread sway. Praise God! I would rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Praise God. Friend, that's the call of God today. If you're a Christian and you're drifting, you're going with the flow, God is calling you. Do you feel it? The tug of God. It's almost like God is a magnet and we are steel, and we feel the pull of God to come out of the world and come deep into His kingdom with a deep devotion to follow Jesus Christ so He can keep us safe, keep us secure, keep us from drifting away. Hallelujah. Our hearts are, as the song said, prone to wander, but God's heart is set on us as His people. And I believe the great call of God to come out from among them and be separate, not sanctimonious and self-righteous, just simply separate, saith the Lord, marching to the beat of a different drummer. That call is strong today. Come out from among them, the Scripture declares, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. For what fellowship hath light with darkness, and darkness with light, and Christ with Belial? Literally, Christ and Satan is what the Scripture is saying. We've got to make that decision, and when we do, just like Jesus in the garden, heaven's resources, spiritual help and strength is going to come that we might follow Jesus Christ and that He might keep us from the world and its pull. Hallelujah. I don't know about you today, but heaven is looking so much sweeter. The condition of this world and the way that it's headed. Ah, the journey is indeed getting sweeter every single day of my life. I can't imagine not following Jesus closely, particularly in a day like this, when I hear the news, when I read the periodicals on my computer and I go to the different sites and I look at the news and I see the horrendous things that are happening all over the world, all over America, the bloodshed, the murder, the hate, the chaos. And I say, Oh God, Jesus, come soon, but help us to get in the harvest, because so many are not ready for your coming. Today, if you are a Christian, God is calling you to come out from among them and be ye separate, and don't dabble with the things of the world anymore. Live a life that is representative of the kingdom that you have been called into. Praise God, it's time to get close to God and stay close to God and to follow Jesus with everything we are and everything that we have. Hallelujah. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior, there is a call. I am convinced that God is calling you through the gospel by His Spirit to come to Jesus, to repent of your sin and have those sins blotted out and washed away. And then God not only saves you, He seals you according to the Scripture with the Holy Spirit and to the day of redemption. You say, preacher, I can't live the Christian life. I'm not even going to try. God knows you can't live the Christian life. He don't need you to show Him that you can. He needs your willingness to let Him fill you with His Spirit, forgive your sins, seal you by giving you the Holy Spirit. The Comforter, you know what that means? The Paraclete in the Greek, one who is called alongside to help. You don't have to do it in your strength. He doesn't expect it. But the Bible said in John's Gospel, chapter 1, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Today, God stands ready. Jesus stands ready. The Holy Spirit stands ready to forgive your sin and to equip you with everything you need to live in a fallen world and follow in faithfulness the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, to be in the world, but not of it anymore. Praise God. Come to Jesus today. I know that He's calling you to come. And if you're a Christian today and you're away from the Lord and you're not following Jesus closely, I know that He's calling you as well to come out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. He said, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. As it is written, I will walk in them. I will live in them. Goes on to say, beloved, having these precious promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord, in the deep reverence with awe and affection of the Lord. Well, friend, our time is gone. The call is clear, powerful. It's happening all over the world. Make sure that you stand with Him and for Him so that He can stand with you in this day. Well, we love you. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?